God. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we are. I am a child of God. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to the scriptures. Praise God. How many of you know what we've been talking about? Huh? Yes, that's right. Church, it's His house. It's still His house. But today, that's not what we're going to be talking. Today, I'm going to go into another passage. I am prepared with the other passage, but today, the Lord wants me to touch a different passage, so I'm going to go into that. Turn to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28. I am going to read it from the NLT version. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the crumbs that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you will minister to our needs. Release grace and anointing in this place that will make the proclamation of your word effective. Every resistance to the preaching of God's word, we still them. We cancel them in Jesus' name, and we take victory in the house. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is a familiar passage. I have preached from this passage before, but today I want to focus on, with the title, Getting to the Crumbs. Getting to the Crumbs. Praise God. From Jesus, from where he was positioned to where this woman could access him, it was 50 miles away. Jesus wanted to remain anonymous, but this woman somehow found him out. Need always finds God out. Praise the Lord. She comes with a request. She has a request. And her request is, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." Praise the Lord. That's her need. Her need is something that's close to her heart. When your need is close to your heart, when your need touches your heart, when your need places a burden on your heart, when your need puts ache in your heart, when your need bleeds your heart, you cannot sit still. Praise God. We all go through seasons in our lives where the needs that we carry are so close to our heart that it envelops us, it gobbles us, it swallows us, it takes over our thought process, it takes over our emotions, it takes over our being, and we cannot but look out for help. Praise God. Such was the case of this woman. She comes crying out to Jesus saying, "Son of David, have mercy." Praise the Lord. "For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely."
Praise God.
The Bible says that she's a Gentile woman, a Canaanite woman, who had no link to the children of Israel. Yet somehow, she tracks him down and she reaches out to him. Praise God. As I look at this word, I'm asking myself, did she track Jesus down or did Jesus track her down? Did Jesus cross 50 miles to reach out to her or did she reach out to Jesus? Praise God. Hallelujah. When Jesus closed the gap that she could not close and makes himself accessible to this woman. Mark, the writer of gospel, says Jesus wanted to keep himself anonymous. He was in a house, but need sought Jesus out. Praise God. Hallelujah. She cries out, Son of David, which of course was a phrase that the Jewish people exclusively employ when they have a need. She borrowed that phrase. I don't know. We don't know where she heard it. But obviously, she heard it and she used that phrase to approach Jesus. Praise God. Throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus is called out or beckoned or requested or called out or addressed as Son of David. And she probably heard that's the word to use to get him to respond. The magic word, the formula that's always been used, the formula that works. How often we employ such formula and it turns out to be hollow words, shallow words. It's not in the formula that God works. Praise God. Hallelujah. We hear people using phrases, verbiage that sounds so religious, that sounds so powerful, and we employ such phrase and verbiage in our prayer. Quite often we find that nothing works. Praise God. She borrowed that phrase because she thought that would make him respond to her easily. Praise God. I want to bring before you the seemingly hurdles that stands before her. Praise God. I say seemingly because she was dealing with Jesus. Hurdle number one, Jesus gives her the silent treatment. The silent treatment. This is how the word goes. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Praise God. Have you ever experienced the silent treatment of God? Praise God. Silence of God can be deafening. Praise God. Silence of God in moments where we need to hear him can make us hit the panic button. We can go into a panic mode when we feel that God is not responding to us. Praise God. Have you been in that place? When you really wanted to hear from God, when you wanted God to come through, when you wanted God to shake the heavens and manifest himself on your behalf, but nothing but silence on the other end. When you look up into the skies, it seems as if the skies are still. Not even a cloud. Elijah saw a cloud in the size of a hand. But quite often, when heaven is silent, God is silent, you don't even see a cloud. Praise the Lord. It seemed that Jesus was ignoring her. Praise the Lord. But hindsight, after reading the scriptures over and over again, after getting ourselves familiar with Jesus, the way that he operates and the words that he used, we know that Jesus was not ignoring her. That's why I dub it the seemingly hurdles that stood before her. Praise the Lord. Whole time Jesus had in his mind to come to her aid, to relieve her of a predicament, because he knows what we go through in our lives. If there is anyone in the universe who knows what you go through in any given season, including this morning, it is Jesus. Amen. Your spouse might not be able to read your tormenting thoughts. Your spouse might not be able to weigh the burden in your heart. Your children might not see it. Your co-workers and your good friends might not know it. But Jesus does. Praise God. The Bible says he's able to empathize with us. He's able to sympathize with our weakness. He's not only able to sympathize with our weakness, the Bible says he's able to save us to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He knew. He wanted to draw her out, or draw out the faith in her, so that he could respond to her. Praise the Lord. Have you heard the song, The Silence of God, written by Andrew Peterson? And I'm going to read out the first paragraph of that song. It is the silence of God. It is enough to drive a man crazy. It will break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. When he's bleeding for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and the heaven's only answer is the silence of God. Praise the Lord. Look for him, and still it seems that he cannot be found. Charles Swindoll puts it like this, and I quote, God's silence doesn't mean his absence. Silence is God's call for you to grow deeper, end quote. Let me repeat. God's silence doesn't mean his absence. Silence is God's call for you to grow deeper this morning. Is there any arena in your life where you feel that God has been mum, God has been silent, that he has not been responding to you? He has been indifferent to you. It seems that he has just simply turned his face away from you. All you feel, he's simply snubbing you. Praise God. Is it because God is trying to call you into a deeper relationship with him? Praise the Lord. You feel it's a stall. You feel he's stalling you. It's not him stalling you. He's beckoning you to get into a deeper relationship with him. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he did not say a word. Praise the Lord. Feel snubbed. Feel as if God is cold, calloused, indifferent. He has a I don't care attitude. How would you and I respond to a season like this? Praise the Lord. Especially when you feel that the season has been drawn out. You feel that the season has been stretched. You look around and you feel that everybody around you has skipped this season, has overridden this season, or they have never faced this season. Perhaps you are right, perhaps you are wrong. Because quite often we hide this season. We hide this season behind a smile. We hide this season behind a facade. We hide this season as if we are on top of the world. We hide this season as if we feel that we are in absolute control. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Or we can have a negative impact. We can get impatient. We can get angry. We can just simply give up. Praise the Lord. Where we become indifferent and throw in the towel. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I always say this. Don't waste your tears. Praise God. Tears are not meant to be wasted. Praise God. When those tears flow like a river, like a spring, through those cheeks, praise the Lord. When those tears seems to be hot running through your cheeks and you drench your pillows with those tears, you need to know something. God is a God who collects tears. Praise the Lord. We might spend time collecting pearls. We might spend time collecting gems. We might spend time collecting precious stones. But my Bible says God collects the tears of his saints. Amen. It's not never wasted. Praise the Lord. Seemingly hurdle number two. The ineligible factor. Jesus tells her, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. In other words, lady, you don't cut in here. You are not eligible. You don't fall under this provision. You are out of this provision. Sorry, you don't qualify. This is how it seems to be said. Praise the Lord. Jesus is saying, I came to my own. I am dealing with my own. It seems as if he's saying, I have no time for you. You are not the covenant people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt like that? Praise God. Hallelujah. That you are ostracized. That it doesn't matter anymore. Praise the Lord. Jesus saying, I have come primarily, first and foremost, for the house of Israel. My focus must be upon my people. Therefore, this is what he tells her. The seemingly next hurdle that she faces is the ineligible factor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to draw your attention to how she responds to the first seemingly hurdle. The Bible says, we don't see how she responds from her words, but from the words of the disciples that are recorded, we see that she had a persistent spirit. She would not take no for an answer. She had a relentless spirit. She had a relentless pursuit. She would not take no for an answer. Praise God. This morning, have you given up? Or do you have a relentless spirit? Would you make up your mind that I'm not going to let him go? Like Jacob of old, at the brook of Jabbok, he got hold of, hallelujah, the angel of the Lord. And the Bible says, from dusk to dawn, he wrestled him. Finally, the angel of the Lord said, let me go. Praise God. The prophet Hosea puts it like this, that Jacob was not physically wrestling with the angel of the Lord, but rather he was on his knees, praying, beckoning, praise God, interceding, supplication. Hallelujah. Would not let God go. You know, when you get on your knees, praise God. Hallelujah. And get desperate with God. God cannot simply walk away from you and your need. This is how the disciples put it. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us with all her begging. It bugged the disciples. Praise God. Hallelujah. It bugged the disciples. The disciples felt very uncomfortable. The disciples felt that this is too much. Praise God. Our methods when we come before God has to become unconventional. It has to become so radical, praise the Lord, that heaven cannot remain silent anymore. Praise God. Being persistent. Anytime you give up on anything, you are giving up on God. Anytime you give up on anything that truly belongs to you as a child of God, we need to know what our rights are. We need to know what are the provisions for a child of God. We need to know the promises of God concerning our lives. We need to know the perks of being a son of God, a daughter of God. And make this scripture your platform, your jumping board, hallelujah, your springboard. Because obviously where you are based, it seems that nothing is coming to you. Use the promise of God as a springboard that can take you higher up than where you are and take you deeper into your relationship with God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, she realized, praise God, that she is not just simply gonna lay low. The disciples got very uncomfortable. And the disciples is beckoning on behalf of this woman, saying, Lord, get rid of her, please. Get rid of her. Praise the Lord. Get rid of her. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Get rid of her. Sometimes we as disciples, we can also become very indifferent. Very indifferent. We could. We could become very indifferent. Just like these disciples. They wanted to just simply get rid of her. Praise God. Jesus, it's at that time, he opens his mouth and he tells her what? What does he tell her? I've come to my own. But look at her. What does she do? She realizes that Jesus, it seems, has snubbed her. And what was her next response? The Bible says it was a worship posture. Praise the Lord. If her first response was a relentless pursuit, the second response was a worship posture. The Bible says she came and worshiped him and pleaded again, Lord, help me. Praise the Lord. The ability to worship God even in adverse situation is a true litmus test. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when we go through tough times, we hear someone else pray and we think that would be the key. Let me try their line. Let me try their verbiage. You realize that it doesn't work for you. Listen, what is God looking for is what comes from the depth of your heart. Praise the Lord. What comes from the depth of your heart is one that can strike a chord into the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. It's not the phrases and the methodologies and the formulas that someone has tried. Thank God. We can learn from it. But what God is looking is what is going to come from the depth of your soul. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible says, she went and she worshipped him. The Greek word proskynio is used. Wherever the Greek word proskynio is used, it means she went and she felt flat on her face before Jesus and she worshipped him. Praise God. Hallelujah. She threw away every other methodology and formula that she knew, and she worshipped him. Lord, help me. No longer was she concerned about the right phrase to use. No longer was she considered, she thought how she would look. No longer did she consider what others would think about her. She became desperate. She became open. And the Bible says she worshiped him. Praise God. The ability to worship God in any and every seasons of our lives. It's like the psalmist is saying, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually be in my mouth. My friend, wherever you are this morning, praise the Lord. Whether you're watching us over the live stream, whether you are in a hospital bed, or whether you are in a place where you want to throw up, hallelujah, throw the towel and say, this is it. You want to call it off. I want to tell you, try worship. God is worthy to be worshipped in any and every seasons of our lives. Praise the Lord. Worship, hallelujah. Giving God the glory, regardless of how you feel, or where you are, praise the Lord, would bring forth a greater glory that is manifested, would manifest the presence and the power of God in a greater dimension, in a greater magnitude. There is an unveiling that takes place when you bow down before the Creator and acknowledge Him as the Lord of Lords, as the God of Gods, as a Redeemer, as a Protector, as a Provider, as a Keeper, as a Sustainer, as a source of all grace and glory, as a source of all blessing that freely flows from his throne into our zone. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is at that point Jesus makes his next statement. I want to call it the extreme treatment. Praise the Lord. The silent treatment, the ineligible factor treatment, and now the extreme treatment. What is the extreme treatment? The extreme treatment is when God pushes you to your limit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not easy. Praise. When he pushes you to the limit. Praise God. When you feel that you're going to break. When you feel you don't have an ounce of strength left. Where you feel that you have ran out of your patience. Where you feel you are just simply moving because you're going downhill. Where you feel that there is no gas in the tank. The only momentum that you feel is because of gravity. You're simply rolling down the slope to end with a crash in the valley. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where you feel that your brakes have failed and you're simply going down. Hell, praise the Lord. The extreme factor, praise God. Hallelujah. Have you gone through the extreme factor? I have seen men and women of God in this church who, according to me, as an outsider looking at them, I could feel that they have gone through the extreme factor. Praise the Lord. But thank God, I've always seen God bring people out. And I have realized through personal experience and by being an observer, praise God, when God pushes us to the limit, it is because he knows how much you can take. It's beyond what you think. Praise God. He's never going to push you beyond the breaking point. When you feel that you've reached the breaking point and if you don't have an ounce of energy left to go anymore further, praise God. And if you still feel the pressure, and if you still feel nothing's opening for you, you still feel the doors are closed for you, you still feel that there is nothing but barrenness before you, you still see nothing but a wilderness before you, you still feel that what you saw was nothing but a mirage. Praise God. The extreme treatment for her. Jesus said, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. I don't know how many of us would have stood there. First, it was the silent treatment. Then telling her that she was not eligible for it. Now the extreme treatment. Many people walk away. Many people will call it quits. Praise the Lord. Because just now, it seemed that Jesus was saying, listen, this is not for you. Praise the Lord. It isn't right for me to take the food away from children. Healing is the children's bread. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Greek, they use two Greek words. One is kwon. That means a wild scavenger dog, a dog that's on the street. The other one is kinarion. Kinarion means a little puppy, cute little household pet, which is a part of the family. We have so many families in our church who have pets, dogs as pets. And I see how they treat them, how they love them, how they cuddle them, and how the pet cuddles back at them, and how the treatment goes back and forth. Jesus is using the latter word, kinarion, meaning a little puppy, a cute little puppy, a household pet. He's saying, listen, the master feeds his children. The bread is for the children that are sitting around the table. It's not for the pet that is under the table. To which she responds. Amazing response. And I want to tag it as the engaging factor of this woman. The engaging factor. She responds to the seemingly looking insult by saying, that's true. I am in agreement. She's saying, Lord, is that what it is? That's true. I'm in agreement. Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. You know what she was doing? She was engaging with Christ. Or she was keeping that conversation alive. Listen, when was the last time you engaged with Jesus in a conversation? When you felt like not talking. When we are down and under, that's the last place and time where we want to express ourselves because you're just thrown in the towel. But here this woman continues to engage with Jesus. When was the last time you engaged with Jesus in a conversation? When was the last time you carried your burden into the presence of the Lord? And you used a passage from the scripture or a character from the scripture that you can identify has one gone through a similar situation like you have, and you engage the Lord in a dialogue. What does it mean to engage with the Lord in a dialogue? Praise the Lord. When you run out of words, when you feel that you have nothing left to say anything to Him, you dig into God's Word. You make yourself familiar with the Word of God. And you look at a character who has gone through a similar passage like you have gone through. You look at that character. You identify your need with that character. And you see how God brought them out. And you get into, engage into a conversation with Jesus. You start arguing with Him. You say, Lord, you dealt with her. You came through for her. Why would you not come through for me? That's engaging with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are you feeling that you are in a lion's den? You tell Him, Lord, you kept Daniel in the lion's den safe. And you got him out of the lion's den. If you can do it for him, you can do it for me. Praise the Lord. Going through a season of barrenness, you look at Rachel. You look at Hannah. You look at Elizabeth. You tell the Lord, Lord, if you can do it for her, you can do it for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you feeling confined? Are you feeling that all the doors around you are shut? You can look at Jabesh and you can say, Lord, if you expanded his boundary, what about my boundary? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you going through a Red Sea, a sea standing before you? We just sang that song, didn't we? What did we sing? If you split the sea, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, some of these songs when you sing, you just need to go nuts. Praise God. You just need to holler before the Lord. You need to bring your situation and make it a reality, because the songs that are being sang, the word that is being preached, is a custom cut word that the Holy Spirit brings out for you, for your need. You cannot be indifferent before God when the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, is touching you, is pinpointing your need. You cannot be stoic. You cannot be poised. Praise God. You need to break forth, because God is dealing with you. He has a custom cut word for you. He will put a stop to the ongoing message, to the ongoing teaching, because He has a word that addresses your need. He tells the preacher, put a hold on what you've been preaching. I have a word for someone. It deals with their crisis. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. The engaging factor. She starts engaging with the Lord. She says, Lord, you're right. You're right. You're right. But those dogs, those puppies, those pets that are under the table. You know, accidentally when people eat, the crumbs fall off the table. Scraps fall off the table. And if those dogs can have it, all I need is that crumb. All I need is that scrap. I don't need a loaf. All I need is a crumb. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you were given a choice, a lavish meal before you, or a crumb, what would we go for? We'll go for the lavish meal. But we have traveled into remote places on mission trips. When we go to mission trips on remote places, we go to places where there is nothing decent available. to consume, nothing that's edible, nothing that can keep us going. You know what do we carry with us? Anybody, any idea? We carry the power bars with us. Because you look at the power bar, you know what the power bar says? Each power bar is equivalent to a full meal. Praise God. The crumbs of God is like a power bar. Praise God. Regardless of what your needs are, God can meet you at the point of our need. The woman here had the faith that all she needed was a small scrap, a small crumb, and that was powerful enough to bring healing for her daughter. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, if you feel that you could not connect to any of this part, I want you to listen to the next part very closely. I want to talk about the ignored loaf of bread. The ignored loaf of bread. Praise God. We as believers, at times we become so complacent that we neglect the bread of God's word. Praise the Lord. We complain about the bread. We waste the bread. We show an indifferent attitude towards the bread. Sometimes we don't even pick the bread. When was the last time you picked this bread in your hand? When was the last time you by yourself consumed this bread? Praise God. Hallelujah. How often we even take the fellowships or the study of God's word or simply coming into the house of God, when we do that, we are ignoring the bread. Praise the Lord. But do you know, desperate people, they will go far and beyond with crumbs than those who call themselves believers who has at their disposal loaves of bread. Have you heard about men and women who are saved because they picked a piece of track from the trash? Have you read such autobiographies? I have read autobiographies of people who are in the prison. They picked up Bible pieces that was used as waste, that was used as bathroom tissues, and they have got saved through those literatures. That is the power of the crumb. Praise the Lord. But how often we ignore it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, when all you have is a crumb, God can do a great thing in your life with that crumb. Sometimes it's just a simple word of God that can bring relief, release in your life. Praise God. One small word. Praise God. That's why God's people ought to be attentive when you come into the house of God. If someone is preaching for half an hour, maybe it's one word that they say that will meet you at the point of your need. Someone might be praying. Instead of being indifferent to the prayer, if you can engage in that prayer, if you can listen carefully to that prayer, there might be a word, a syllable in there that will strike a chord in your heart, in your soul, that can bring forth a deliverance in your life, in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The accolade. Jesus. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed instantly. You know what the Bible says in Psalm? Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, when we continue to engage with Jesus, When you continue to worship, fall by before him in praise and thanksgiving and adore him. Praise the Lord. You are delighting yourself in the Lord. And when you do so, the Bible says, he will give you the desires of your heart. Praise the Lord. Jesus proved to her that the power of God's crown honored her faith and made her a model for perseverance and faith. Could it be this morning that God wants to make you a model of faith because of what you are going through in your life? Could it be God wants to bring forth a testimony of deliverance, a testimony of God's miraculous provision, a testimony that you have gone through hell and high water in life, but you have come through in one piece? Is it possible for us to persevere in the furnace? If you're going through a fiery furnace trial in your life, is it possible for you to persevere? Well, you need to ask yourself, will this fire burn me, consume me, or would I come out as gold? Praise the Lord. Only God can bring out the best out of any situations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, listen to this carefully. Praise the Lord. Our God is a God who can give us much more than what we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within our lives. Much more than you ask or need. Imagine, this is a table. You know who is at the head of the table? If this is the head of the table, you know who is the head of the table? Who do you think is at the head of the table? The bread of life. Who is the bread of life? Jesus is the bread of life. And do you know what is on the table? The bread, which is the word of God. Do you know who's sitting around the table? Who do you think is sitting around the table? Who are they? What's their designation? They are the children of God. So Jesus, the bread of life, on the head of the table. His children around the table. And the bread, the word of God, on the table. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he has called us to the banqueting table. And the banner over me is love. Praise the Lord. As children, we have access to the loaf of bread, not to the crumbs. Praise the Lord. He doesn't want you and me to feed on the crumbs. We have the loaf of bread. We are sitting around him, around the banqueting table. You and I ought to learn to feast on the bread, on the loaf that belongs to you and to me rightfully. Did you hear what I said before? I said we need to know what rightfully belongs to us. We need to know what are the blessings with our name written on it. We need to know the privileges that God has given us. He calls us around his table. We are his children, and he has a loaf of bread on the table. You have the bread on the table that will meet you at the point of your need, no matter how big that need is, no matter what realm that need is. That need could be a spiritual need, that could be a physical need, that could be a material need, that could be a financial need, that could be an emotional need. Every need is met because the love of God is sufficient. Praise God. The bread of life, Jesus, is an all-sufficient God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know who he is? Praise God. Hallelujah. You ask for a crumb, he gives you a loaf. Praise God. You ask for a drop of water, he gives you the ocean. Praise God. You ask a moment with him, he gives you eternity with you. Praise God. You ask for an audience. He flings open the door of the throne of grace and he says, come, have fellowship with me. No restriction, just come. You say, Lord, would you tarry with me for the night? He says, I will never leave thee, nor would I ever forsake thee. You say, Lord, would you hang out with me? He says, I'm already inside of you. I have made my abode with you. Praise God. You ask for a small supply. He gives a supply that outlives the famine of your life. Who can beat his response? Who can make a counter offer? Who can match his offer? He's incomparable. Praise God. Hallelujah. This morning, my friend, wherever you are, you understand, he is asking you to come and have fellowship with him. He says, the loaf that I provide, I am the bread of life. Praise God. If you consume that bread of life, you will never hunger anymore. God can meet you at the point of your need. Close your eyes. The question is, will you persevere? That which looks like a seemingly insurmountable hurdles are just placed there to test your tenacity, to test your stamina, to test how vigorous you can get, to test the strength, the depth that you have in God. When you feel that you can't go a microsecond anymore, do you know what he has planned for you? Not a microsecond, but an eternity with him. As we are going to pray, is there anybody in the house who say, me, I have a need this morning. I have a need this morning. I tried everything. I knocked at so many doors. I tried so many ways. It seems as if God is silent. He's calling you into a deeper relationship with you. Put that need that you have on the side. I want you to pursue the one who can fulfill your need. It's not the blessing, but the one who blesses you. It's not the gift, it's the giver. Would you put your arms around him, hold tight to him and say, Lord, I'll not let you go. Regardless of what that need is, I want to pray with you this morning. If you slip your hands up saying, I have a need, I want to pray with you. I'll pray out from here. If you are that person, slip your hands up all the way. Slip your hands all the way as if you're trying to reach heaven. It's an expression of faith. As you reach your hands up, it's as if you're trying to touch heaven. And this morning we're going to pray, Lord, he will touch your hand. Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. As we are going to sing, I want you to just engage with him. Engage with him. Take that part of the message that God spoke to you and talk to him. And in that engagement, if it's tears, it's okay. If it's a shriek, it's okay. If it's a cry, it's okay. If it's a heart throbbing, that's okay. If it's a groan, it's okay. God can interpret.